Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista.
And it's your boy Sean.
Hey, I'm really excited about this conversation that we're going to have today. And we love to be with our Keep 100 tribe. And as we've come to the conclusion of 2024, which I cannot believe that we are here at the end of 2024. This year has gone so fast, right?
Oh, it's been seriously a blur.
Oh my goodness. And so many God moments and so many incredible things we've seen God do this year. But we wanted to focus in on what God's doing here in the Bay and what we're seeing on a local level with our momentum movement. And our momentum movement is carried by more than just Sean and I. It's carried by a tribe of people, specifically what we call our revival fam. But we even want to zero in deeper on that. And we want to talk to our team. And these are the people that really run with us intimately day in, day out. And they're the ones that really help carry and execute the vision of the momentum movement and believing for revival here in the Bay, which we are seeing, which is incredible. And we wanted to pull them together today for a conversation to talk about revival, to talk about what we're seeing, to talk about revival resolve, and what we saw happen, the culmination of our Revival Evangelism Masterclass, with the intention that we want to provoke you, just as we've been believing for the Bay and we're seeing it. We want you to listen to today's episode of what's available for your region. Because if God can use us to bring revival in the Bay, which we are seeing, then he can use you for your region to see and release revival. As many of you know, a couple weeks ago at the end of November, we had Revival Evangelism Masterclass, which we lovingly call RIM. And there we saw God move in an unprecedented way. We were so touched, impacted. We were so provoked by what God did at the culmination of that gathering, which we called the Night of Hope. It was a Saturday night. And everything that led up until that moment has been something we've been contending for 2 years. And so I feel like have stepped into a new place in the spirit of what God's doing. And so we wanted to pull all of us together to really have a conversation. Because when you're actually beginning to see the breakthrough, what you've been contending for, we are truly in a this is that moment. We wanted to pull our fam together to be like, come on, let's talk about what we have fought for together. Let's talk about what we've sacrificed for. Let's talk about what we've carried together, what we've believed for, and what God has said.
Yes. You know, we've entitled this Contending for a Move. It's more than a vibe. It takes a village. And I really believe a lot of times when you talk about revival, people get the vibe of revival, and who in a sense does not want a revival? But to understand that it takes more than just desire, it takes resolve. It takes more than just a person that says, hey, I want to be a revivalist. It takes a village. It takes a tribe. And so we wanted you to hear their hearts and hear really behind the scenes, as Krista said, what does it take? What is some of the grind involved? What are some of the joys and some of the wins that you have, as well as maybe even talking about a couple of things that we would say are challenges for us, but we're excited to gather this group together. And so why don't you join us as we jump into this conversation with the Revival Fam.
Keep It 100 Tribe, I have the privilege of bringing to the podcast airwaves my family right here. This is our Revival Tribe. This is our family. This is the group that we run with. We have Chris and LTV also. She's LTV to us, but she's Lily, husband and wife. And if you come to any of our conferences, you know them. Chris does the worship and all the stuff as it relates to gathering together the worship team, sound, all that kind of stuff. LTV is the on-ground administrator of everything that's taking place in these. They're doing a great, great job. Dez is the newest member to the team. She is a tremendous sweetheart. She has a phenomenal gifting in creativity, in media creativity, that kind of stuff. She helps out with all our momentum stuff as well, does so many things. We'll talk more about her. We have Natalia. She is amazing. She is our office administrator. She is leading worship as well with Chris, one of the singers, but she leads sets and stuff. She's an amazing worship leader, an amazing intercessor. And of course, we got Krista. Whoa, what's up, Krista?
Hey, baby. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, hey, we're gonna jump this off. One of the things I was thinking about, there's a passage in the Bible that says Isaiah 65:8. And I think about that scripture. I think about us and what God has blessed us with. And it says, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, as one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. And so Isaiah is prophesying that a new wine, and I really believe this is a prophetic word for now, because it is about associations. It is about partnerships. It is about family. Revival is family at the end of the day. If you're a revivalist and you're like solo running around, first of all, that's not revival. Second of all, you're going to get knocked around. And so, hey, we're going to jump in this and we're going to first start off with, we just recently had a revival and evangelism masterclass and it went well. So we need to let our listeners know what went on with that. We had Todd White come in. We had Ben Hughes. We had Jesse Green. Chris spoke. I spoke. Chris, all of us were involved in some way, shape, or form, but it really shocked us because whenever you do evangelism masterclasses, they tell you that you're not going to get a lot of people to come out. We had a surprising crowd, and then what God did was amazing. Somebody jump in and just talk about the revival and evangelism masterclass, which we affectionately call REM.
Who's going to go first? You know, REM was insane. And I'll be honest, I actually didn't know what to expect from a masterclass that's about evangelism and revival. And I learned quickly, especially after the first night, that, man, I don't have the heart of the Father. And sometimes I think, you know, when you're walking in faith, you're doing the Christian life, you think, okay, yeah, I'm saved, I believe, and that's enough. But the lesson I learned quickly that Friday night was, if I truly love God as much as I think I do, then I should easily share him to the rest of the world. And that really changed my life. It really helped me and I think others around the room learn how to have the heart of our Father. And it's wild. Like I didn't, you know, it's funny. I was actually like crazy sick that week, but I didn't care. Like I didn't care about my circumstances. That all I was concerned about was the heart of God, the heart of the Father, and how much he loves not only me, but everyone else in the world. And I think the whole masterclass, it's starting from that point and ending with the spontaneous baptisms, it ended up becoming probably my favorite thing that week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Agreed.
I was going to say, from the admin standpoint, just like seeing registration and we were like praying these people in and we're like, God, you know, and I remember in the office when we came in and registration still weren't just what we expected or what we normally have seen. You know, Krista just came in and said, you guys, like whoever is there needs to be there, like, you know, is called to be there. And we are going to be obedient to our assignment. And what ended up happening, I feel like out of that place of like, God, we're going to do what you've asked us to do. And we're going to let you do what you do. It was just so beautiful. And I feel like one of the reasons God blessed it so much, it's because it was people came because they're like, hey, God, we want to tell others about you. We want to get equipped. And then what God did was like, no, I actually just want to let you know how much I love you. I want to let you know how much I'm in pursuit of you. And then he kind of did that like that first night. And then he's like, okay, now go out and do it. And I feel like because we showed up, because we wanted to do God's work, because we wanted to be his hands and feet, he just blessed it. And I remember for that last session, I'll share this like inside tip. I remember we went out to the sanctuary and that sanctuary is really big. Like that sanctuary fits like almost a thousand people. And I heard the Lord say like, okay, put the chairs to the end of the room. And I was like, we don't even have that many like people here. But I was like, okay, this whole masterclass is about like our faith and going out and stepping out. So I was like, I recruited some people. We put a ton of chairs out all the way to the back of the room. I got the altar team and I'm like, you guys, let's pray over these chairs. Like these are all souls like this. And the Lord just like so blessed it. That entire room was full. And I remember that moment. I was doing something in the lobby. I came back into the sanctuary and I had that moment of like, I just see this entire room.
Come on.
Just I sat on Jesus at the feet of Jesus and I just like started. It was so beautiful.
I love that. LTV, to speak to that, when I walked in to that evening session, that night of hope, and I saw the chairs all the way back of the room, I started laughing because I went, come on, LTV, I love your face. I knew exactly like what had happened. I knew that you walked in and you were like, no, like we're doing this. And so I just like partnered with it in my heart. I was like, I love that she just stepped out. I love her faith. Heck yeah. Let's do this, Jesus. We're just out here believing for miracles. And like you, I turned around and I actually laughed because I thought, God, you're so wild. You're so incredible. Like you fill the room every time. Like he fills the room, even when we look around, how many times we've all looked around at each other as we're leading into events and enrollment isn't there. And this was probably our lowest enrollment up front, but yet people showed up and the room was full. And it's just that supernatural, as you step out and you follow God, he'll literally put in the room who's supposed supposed to be there. And I love your faith, LTB, because even in those moments, it's like, you'll just step out and be like, no, this is what we're doing. Yeah. And it's good because we're such family, there's a collective mm-hmm. agreement that if mm-hmm. one of us has faith for it, even if the other people, if Come we're on. Struggling a little bit, yeah. we'll hear the faith of the other person and we'll yeah. go. And we'll go, yeah, okay, yes, totally. That's yeah. it, you know, it's like, it just like, it pulled us to that place of higher faith, LTV. So I love mm-hmm. that about you. And God answered prayers. Mm-hmm. Come on, Tal, Des, what you feeling from Rem?
Yeah, I think Rem, just as like Chris hinted, it really took us all by surprise. Did a prophetic masterclass, did a healing and deliverance masterclass. We're like, yes. And then revival and evangelism. We're like, okay, like, sounds great. And like, we just knew God was going to be there, but we didn't expect to show up like that. And because we've had multiple momentum nights, we've seen God's glory come in amazing, beautiful ways. But this was so special because it was truly like the love of God. And I feel like with a lot of our momentum nights and our conferences, we've been chasing after the glory of God and the presence and then the healing. But then this was so special. They were like, oh, wait, but God loves us. Like, his love is here, his heart for his children and the people who don't even know him yet. And we just got so infilled with it. And then it was funny because I'm like, the following Sunday, I went to church and they sing Reckless Love, and I haven't heard that song in a very long time, and I'm like, God, yes, even though we were your foe, like, you still fought for us, even when we didn't feel any worth, like, you died for us, you chased after, and this is the love of the Father. And so it was so beautiful because all of us were there and sold out, and we all love Jesus, we're all sold out for Jesus, and yet it's like he just like showed us another aspect of himself that was so beautiful. And then to Lil's point of just like, and just the baptisms and everything, that night of hope, that literally took us by surprise, because it's like that line consistent, like it never died down. We looked, I'm like, okay, there's like about 10 people. And then an hour goes by, I'm like, there's still 10 people there. Like, wait, what's happening? And that line completely like grew and people literally got transformed. And I know like we have all these like stories that we've seen, but like all these people who were going into that water, it literally came out different. Like, I've never seen a baptism like that ever in my entire life. And so like, I've been marked. I know all of us have been marked, have our story too. And it's just stewarding that moment that God has given us, that gift that God has given us. And continuing to store that into even the near. So it was powerful. I loved it.
Well, it's so great. Des, we're going to pitch it to you. I just want to mm-hmm. let our listeners know that in addition to our Revival and Evangelism Masterclass, which did Friday, all day Saturday, we had an open event, meaning it was free, called Night of Hope. And that's where all these extra chairs were set out. That's where we did a water baptism, which was just ridiculous. And that was a free event. And all these people showed up. And so what Natalia is referring to is that people just kept lining up. I think we water baptized 95, at least that was counted. I don't know if they got all mm-hmm. the people that doubled up. So close mm-hmm. to 100 people, which was the largest mm-hmm. water baptism I've ever been a part of, indoor or outdoor. So that's just the setup of the backdrop there. Go ahead, Des, why don't you speak to that in terms yeah. of the REM masterclass?
Yeah. I mean, this was my first masterclass, and this should be completely honest. I was a little nervous because I'm like, I love revival, but evangelism has always been a little bit like, I don't know if that's for me. But I love something that Todd White has said. He said, like, not everybody's going to be called into the office of evangelism, but everyone's a witness. And I fully believe that we're all called to be disciples, right? And so we just have the ability to witness. And as we were all like just filled with the Father's love, I felt like I even was just reminded during that weekend of like what the Lord has brought me out of. And I'm like, why wouldn't I want other people to have that? And so it actually empowered me in this whole new way where like I went out to evangelize. I even went the following weekend to like a Trader Joe's and was talking about Jesus and inviting people to like an event that I'm part of, which is a young adults movement. And so I was inviting people to that, and I'm like, why would I not, right? And then another part that just really stuck out to me that I honestly think about every single day, I think, is Ben Hughes was talking about even if you say something like God bless, or if you, it's just the little things, it's just like it sticks with them, and you never know what's going to happen with their story based on something that you said. Even if it's small, it might not be you know preaching the whole gospel, but it might be just one little nugget that is portraying Jesus, and you never know how that's going to affect somebody. And so that's been sticking with me too. And then the Night of Hope, I mean, this group knows I keep saying and it was the best night of my life so far. I can say that with confidence. It was so good. Me and Lil were helping with the baptism, just people getting in and out of the tub and then towels and stuff. And we were both just crying, and it was just the happy tears of seeing people just free. It was just so beautiful. I was ugly crying. It wasn't cute crying. It was ugly crying, but like the Lord was in it all. And it was just one of the best days of my life. And I can talk about it forever, honestly. And I'm excited to be able to talk about it forever. Even when there's a better day, I'm going to be like, that was still one of the best days of my life. Right. So, yeah.
You know what I loved about it? And I love what you're saying, Des, because I'm with you. It was one of those front row seats that God gave us the privilege to be able to watch people literally get baptized and come out a different person. And it was over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And 95 people got baptized. And many of us were a part of that. Mm-hmm. I was a part of it. Tal and her brother got baptized. Des got baptized. Chris and LTV got baptized together. And then a bunch of our team did. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those moments before the Lord, because the Lord had told me during the day, I didn't necessarily plan on getting baptized. I heard the Lord say, you're going to get baptized tonight because tonight's going to be a demarcation for you. Everything's going to shift from tonight over your life. And I felt like the Lord says the immersion is a demarcation. And I felt like it was for me and it was for the Bay. It was for Momentum. Mm-hmm. Like it was this moment where I felt like we're all in, mark us afresh, fresh hunger, recommitment, it just this all in moment. And when I came up out of the water, I had gotten baptized when I was 15, and it was significant and it was authentic and it was sincere. But there's something about here I am in my 40s, and I just felt like I recommitted. Like I could cry even now. I feel the emotion of the moment. And so when the Lord said, you're going to get baptized tonight, I ran home and got clothes. Like I was like, forget dinner, because I had to kind of give up dinner to do it. So I was like, okay, forget food. I ran home, got some clothes, tried inviting my neighbor. He didn't answer the door. I was like banging on his door, and he like didn't answer, because I was like determined. I'm going to get our neighbor, you know, in the house. I'm going to get baptized. Like it's going down. Like that was my mentality. And so as soon as Jesse Green started kind of shifting toward baptism and inviting people, I just went and like changed my clothes. And I just was like, I'm going to be the first one. I wasn't missing out. Like I just wanted to take the fullness of the opportunity. I think there's moments, and even for our listeners listening today, there's moments where you feel an invitation from the Lord where it's like, are you all in again? Like, are you saying yes to the call? Are you saying yes to this? And I felt like for our team, I literally watched sovereignly everyone get in the tank, and literally it was like, I'm all in for everyone. And there was more to it than just that. I totally get that. And I see that, but I think it was a part of everyone getting in the tank that night. It was like, baptize us afresh. Like everything else before this moment, as grateful as we are, but today marks a new day. It was like this culmination of everything we've been believing for, everything we've been standing for in the Bay, and watching it over and over. And I'm just focusing on our team. And there was so much more than that, but just our family that's been believing for revival. As we all got baptized, it was like every one of us got laid out in the Spirit. I came up out of the water and the Spirit of God hit me. I got slain in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. As soon as I came up, I could barely stand. And I wasn't alone in that. I think most people. And then then on top of that, there were so many deliverances. Oh my gosh. Like so many deliverances. That was just literally watching people encounter the Spirit and the presence of God and come out different. I feel like the Bay Area is never the same. It was a demarcation moment, and it made me go, oh wow, 2025 is about to be wild. And it's not by accident that we are calling Momentum 2025 unleashing the wild ones. It's like we've been gathering the wild ones, we've been equipping the wild ones, we've been calling the wild ones, and now we're unleashing the wild ones. It's like that's what it felt like in the Spirit to me. So I just felt like, you know, you have those like spiritual high moments. I don't feel like I've come down. Mm-hmm. Like I'm there. Yeah. I'm just like, since REM and since that Night of Hope baptism, I just feel like I've stayed in this place of the Spirit. This is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's so funny that you share that, Krista, because like before, you know, we started this conversation, as we were praying, the Lord kind of put the Ezekiel 47 passage in my head. And so that's what I was looking up. But I actually went to Ezekiel 37. And in a weird way, I actually feel like they're connected, because Ezekiel 37 talks about how basically, you know, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And then if you go further down, it just says, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says, look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And I actually feel like that's literally, and it was an accident that I went there, but I feel like that's what God did that night. I think a lot of people that went into the water, they were representing a region in the bay that's dead. And so many people who I knew, who already knew Jesus, went into the water, including us. And I had no expectation to get baptized that night. But I think all of us getting baptized, we're kind of like representing our region. And that's where Ezekiel 47, the whole ankle deep, waist deep, all the way in idea. And I feel like the water levels in the bay, they're rising. They're rising so much. And it's so funny because we just had a tsunami warning yesterday, which is crazy. And if we go back to the first event we had, the drought that was in California for 25 years basically ended because of so much rain. It just feels like the water levels are rising. And even going back to REM, it was raining that whole weekend. And it just, and I can't say it enough, it just feels like the Lord is pouring out transformation, pouring out his blessing, pouring out his favor, just ready to change the narrative of the Bay Area and every region represented that night. And I just, and I'm here for it. And I'm just so amped. Exactly what you said. It's like a high that, you know, we have a friend group that we hang out every Sunday and they were all apart and we still talk about it. And it's no longer conversations of, oh man, look at what God did. It's now, hey, how do we keep this going? How do we keep, we don't want this just to be a one weekend thing. We don't want this to be a moment. We want this to be a move that keeps on moving, right? So to speak. And anyways, yeah, I'm here for it. I'm excited. And that weekend literally changed my entire life.
Same. I love that. And I think it's a great segue because that Ezekiel 37, I love that, Chris, because it was a boneyard, but before it was over, it became barracks to an army. And maybe if we could rewind, you know, Chris and I have often talked about, we travel and we speak at these conferences. You guys have traveled, gone to different events, and you hear a narrative over California, at least you did at that time. And the narrative was, and I love you guys to fill this in, but the narrative was, is that we are this state of people that have thrown out all moral codes, all morality. We're wilding out, you know, instead of being the wild ones, we were wilding out. Then came COVID. People are leaving San Francisco. People are leaving California. They're going to Dallas. They're going to Nashville. They're going to Florida. A lot of believers and people are just saying, hey, the agendas, the narratives, the perversion, the leadership in terms of how we're being governed, you know, towards certain things. There were certain people that call that into question. And I've seen, just in terms of me making the Bay Area my home, I've seen a time where there was always this thing that it couldn't happen in California. It could happen in the Bible Belt. It could happen over here. It could happen over there. But then there was this sense of, we felt like we're supposed to step out in faith. And if you remember, about 2 years ago, gang, we did our first masterclass. It was our toe in the water. We did a prophetic masterclass and we did that. And then the attendance shocked us. And then we called Momentum at that time, what it would have been 2023 as our first big conference. And maybe someone else just speak to the fact of our journey of what has taken place.
I love what God did. It's like such a God story. It was like the small like remnant just saying yes. Like I'm literally sitting in the office right now where before it was just Sean, Krista, and myself. And we were sitting in this office and we're like, hey, like we want to do an event. And it's been on their hearts for a long time, even before I even came onto the team. But they're like, we want to do an event. We're thinking of calling it Momentum. Well, we're like, okay, like Momentum, cool. And literally from that moment on, like Momentum started to build into a masterclass, into a conference, into us looking back. And we're like, we're only at that time, then Lil came onto the team, then Chris came onto the team. So technically it was only like five people and like some volunteers. And somehow, some way, we're looking behind us like hundreds of people like crying out like for more. And we just said yes and prepared a place for the hungry, the people who were hungry, who wanted the presence of God, who are the wild ones. And we called them to a place where it's like, hey, we're here, we're ready, we want to unleash it. And so that has been like a beautiful journey of just seeing God consistently showing up, showing off in our master classes, in our events. And we just kind of, as we've been saying, we kind of built the plane as we were going. Like we didn't really have a plan. We never did events before. We're like, okay, we're gonna do it. And we're out, and consistently God is so faithful. And we have like so many God stories, I feel like each and every one of us, but we never want to be pros at it. I feel like we always want to make room for God's presence and whatever he wants to do. And And I'm really excited for this upcoming event, Momentum 2025, because he's surprised us, you know, in the past, and he'll continue to do so. So it's been an amazing ride.
And you know what, really, as you're talking, Tal, I feel like something that is always so encouraging is like whenever God gives you a mandate and a promise, he'll give you the people to do it with. And I look at this gathering of even our team, and I look at the yes from each of you that has been sacrificial. Each of you turned down more lucrative opportunities, more worldly success, and you chose kingdom, and you chose the call of God, and you chose the sacrificial yes. And each of us together, this little team, for what God has done through us, it has been truly supernatural. And we look around of the team that he's gathered. Chris has literally gathered a worship team that consists of like 9 churches represented. LTV gets this volunteer base of a team that's from all over the Bay. They're driving down from Sacramento, which is like hours away, to help be on the volunteer team. We had some of our core Dez and Mark, Sunny and Dez, that drove 3 hours for over a year before they moved to be with us every single month. Like, we have this radical commitment toward people that are just like, we want to see revival in California. Mm-hmm. And it is such a humbling reminder that God will bring you the people to run with when he gives you the prophetic promise. And right when we were like, we need another online person, Tal can't do it all by herself. You know, like, we have to have another creative genius on the team. We need that social media person. And then he brings in Dez and she says, yes, you know, she says yes to the call. She's been invaluable, you know, and it's just, I look around and I'm humbled at each of your yeses. Literally, like, we could not and wouldn't want to do it without you guys. Because to me, like, you can have breakthrough and you can walk in the call of God in your life. And that's amazing. And always grateful for that. However, it is 100 times more fulfilling when you get to do it with people you love. And you get to share the fruit and the victories and the breakthrough with people that are like, I'm all in. Like, I look at all of you guys and we're like ride or die. Like, we're the type that look at each other and it's like, no questions asked. Like, let's just do this, whatever it takes. Like, Dez is like, you know, should I run to Walmart and get more towels, y'all? Because we need more towels, you know, like the baptism tank is like, we had 2 loaves and 5 fishes. Like, that was the equivalent of the towels we had. And we had 95 people. And it, by the end, it didn't even care. It was like, it just was what it was. We're using paper towels. Like, it was just like, that's what we were doing, you know? But I looked at all of us and we were honored and privileged to be a part of what God's doing. And when you have a group that is humble, there's no ego, there's no agenda but Jesus, y'all, I feel like the possibilities of what God's going to do are like limitless, because there's no one on this team and there's no one in our volunteer base that I feel like our core family, like no one wants anything but Jesus. And when you have that, that's it. Game over. I just feel like God responds to the hungry every time.
So true. You know, I think one of the things is that they're probably listeners. And one, I think to pastors and senior leaders, it's a revelation when all of a sudden you put your stake in the sand and you go, we're going to raise the bar, which is what I think revival and revivalists do. They raise the bar. And the bar isn't just making it to a Sunday morning service, although that's a good entry point, right? The bar should be bringing transformation to the marketplace, the city, the water levels, as Chris talked about, should rise in churches all around. And so I think what we discovered is there are hungry people. If you're able to put or willing to put your stake in the ground and just say, hey, man, we're going to go for it. And then there's another group I want to speak to, and that it's interesting. None of us are senior pastors. So we're not doing this from the pulpit on a Sunday morning steering. Each of us are at 4 different churches, which I love that on our team. And we're just doing it from middle of the pack of just saying, hey, we're just going to run and we just get a word out. And so there's been this grassroots gathering of hungry people who are desperate for the more. These people show up. I think we said it at the beginning, we're now about to have our 3rd Momentum Conference, 4 master classes. I think you said, Krista, 18 monthly, because after our first Momentum 2023, there was so much momentum. We started these monthly gatherings that we're probably at this point averaging 400. Like our last 2, and LTV brought up more chairs. I think that was our largest, because our Night of Hope was a, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was a momentum night. And then before that, we had Haley Braun, it was larger. And so they're just growing. So I think the shocker maybe for some is there's a greater hunger in your region than you realize. And so that's why I think one of the things, you should never be bullied by the narrative around you that people aren't hungry. 3. No, they're waiting for someone to just say, let's just go for it. And Jonathan said, hey, let's go over to the other side and kick these uncircumcised Philistines behind, man. And he had one dude that says, yes, I'm with you, dude. Do all that's in your heart. And of course, it caused an entire defeat that day, breakthrough. Maybe one of the things I think would be great to talk about is, from each of our perspective, what has been the greatest challenge in us contending for revival? I know a lot of people say, hey, I like what you guys are talking about. Hey, that's cool. You know, running, believing for revival. I love the fact, again, you don't all have to be in the same home group, same church. You just have to love Jesus and love each other and be willing to run. But what individually, or what do you see corporately, has been some challenges for contending for seeing an outbreak or a breakout of the Holy Spirit in a region?
The first thing that just comes to mind is, I think a lot of the times maybe we put revival in a box, or we think that revival is going to look one way, but it actually might look a totally other way. I mean, because his ways are greater than ours, right? And so we never know what revival might look like. It might look different. There's so much revival history, and I feel like they've looked different each time, right? And I feel like a lot of the times it starts with some sort of holy repentance, right? Like getting on our faces, asking the Lord for forgiveness, surrendering the Lord. But honestly, I think one of the hardest things is probably we get in our own ways a lot of the times. And again, it's just putting revival in this box of, like, we think it's supposed to look like this. We think it's supposed to be a one church thing. We think it's just supposed to be filling a room with people, but really it could pretty much break out anywhere, I believe, and it could be any amount of people or whatever. We never really know. And again, it's just like, how sold out are we for Jesus? Are we putting Jesus at the forefront of it? And yeah, just getting out of our own ways, honestly. I love
so
that.
Good.
I love what Des said, but I think in the sense of, we not only put revival in a box, we've put God in a box. Mm-hmm. Like, we've put restrictions on how God can move, how God can speak, how, based on like our preferences. And I think one of the difficult things is like us having to like explain why we do what we do and how we do it. And it's like, we don't do anything. We just give God room to be God. And it's like, and it's crazy to think that that's like what's different, you know, like, is that our agenda is Jesus. Like, I love Krista always says that our agenda is Jesus always, but it's also, you know, and Sensei, from when we first originally started, you know, you said, hey, our goal is to not give God room, is to give him the room. Like, that was one of like our first momentum, you know, when we first started, we were like, that's what, you know, and just how God has blessed that. Because not only are we not putting things in a box, we're not him in a box. And I feel like that's one of the things that has been hard, is explaining that, you know.
I think what you're saying, say something that's been difficult, at least in our region, I can speak to the Bay Area because I've grew up here all of my life. I grew up when, you know, there was such an outpouring of here in Oakland, California. And that was like my normal. And I was like, wow, people are falling out in the spirit, prophetic words, and like amazing, just an outpouring. And I feel like as I got older and as the years progressed, that became less and less normal. And I'm like, well, where is the well? Where is spirit? Where are the gifts here? Where is like that kind of presence, that weighty presence? And I feel like now, because someone said yes, a group of people said yes. And I think I remember we discussed it too. I think, Krista, you said it. You're like, I don't even think we were God's first choice. We were God's like maybe third, fourth, or fifth choice. Because God could have offered so many people, and people could have been like, well, I like my program, or I like this, or we feel good with this. And God's like, okay. And he came to this little group and we said, yeah. And now we say it at all of our moment tonight. We have our shovels and we're digging and we're hitting water, and the well is coming up and the water is coming. And then now we're going to pull like the Samaritan woman being like, hey, there is water here. There's like living water here. And I feel like that message of, well, people are like, I remember when I used to drink back the water back in the day. I'm like, no, but it's present like now, like today. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we have to, even people who have been in those experiences before, the presence of God before, they have to be reminded that like those days were great, but it's still happening now. At least because if it wasn't, like, it's not happening. And yet we're like, no, like it's happening now. And we have to continually like hit that narrative and invite people, even people who have been in the church, not even just the lost, people who have been church, to come. And like, people can be spectators. Like, we welcome the spectators. We welcome the people to come and just discover and taste and see. And sometimes, you know, you can can go into the event and feel like, well, I didn't really feel God's presence in this way, but something I feel like God has taught me at every single momentum night, every single event, if you get in the room, something's going to break off of you and you're also going to get something regardless of what you feel. Like, no matter the feeling like that you have, it felt like this holy gift, not like if you're in the presence of God, like you are going to get something like deposited in you and something's going to break off of you. And that's why we always want people to come in person to our event, not because we just want to fill a seat, but genuinely, like, we have seen so much change and like come and taste and see. And it's costly, like in the natural and also with their time, but I'm like, but it's so worth it and we've seen it. And so I feel like that's like something that we continually are like hitting of like, we'll be like, oh, okay, well, maybe sure. And so I'm like, just get in the room. And so I feel like that's been really hard to like just get here, but once they're here, they're sold out. And so that's just been something that I have been seeing that's been arisen, but it's turning around.
Yeah. I love so that. Good. You know, I want to add to this. I think one thing I feel like we've learned as a family is God has taught us revival resolve, that we've really understood the importance of it is irrelevant what people come into the room with, what the narrative is over your region, what's been spoken over your state. It doesn't matter that the promises of God rule and reign. And we come from an expectation of what heaven has prophesied over our region. And that's where we worship from. That's where we preach from. And we don't preach to the complacent. We preach to the hungry. We worship for the hungry. And so I feel like there's a collective resolve in our community of people. And that's what's broken it open. I feel like we've opened up a well of revival in the Bay because there has been a resolve. So when we've had those, oh gosh, you guys remember at the very beginning when we started doing this, there was moments where Chris and I would catch eye contact worshiping on the front row and Chris is leading worship. We look at each other and we're like, woo, okay. Okay. We are going to get breakthrough tonight, y'all. Yeah. We did not come here to stay where we're at. And we just kept digging. Like Tao said so well, we understood there's a shovel in our hand, two of them, as a matter of fact, and we're like double fisting. We're like digging in the spirit, you know, together. And there's a resolve. And then when we added, because there was a breakthrough this last April that took place that shifted momentum. There was like this sovereign breakthrough. And we recognized it collectively. And we said, we're not going back. Like, we just got ground given to us in the spirit. And now we're going to gain more ground. And God gave us strategy, because we're always asking God, what's the strategy? He said, have the intercessors set the atmosphere at the beginning of the service. Since we've done that, because again, what are we doing? It's created a resolve in the atmosphere that when people are coming in the room, they're not coming to participate in some just kind of like social gathering. They're not coming to observe someone minister or observe. They're coming here to encounter and never be the same. They're coming here to encounter God. And there is an atmosphere that's set through intercession, that's carried through in worship, that's catapulted through the word, right? And then we hit that altar place, or we're hitting altars in the middle of worship. I mean, we don't have a method. I mean, we've been praying for the sick and casting out demons in the middle of the worship service. Like, we don't have a formula, but I guess our only, if you want to say we had a formula, our only formula is we refuse to not encounter God. And there's a revival resolve within us that says, you gave us ground and we're not giving it up. And not only are we going to keep that ground, we're going to go for more ground. Every single time we gather, we're going to go deeper in the spirit. And that resolve has created an insatiable appetite. Like, I've literally seen people legitimately become different through being a part of momentum, where they were kind of shy and timid. They were kind of like, I'm not sure about Holy Ghost. I like Jesus, but I don't know about all this. And they're like, now an intercession at the altar praying for, like, and I'm like, who are you? It's like we get bit by the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's not the best way to say it, but it's like you get that bit by the Holy Spirit. You all of a sudden you're like, hold on, this is available. Hold on. Like, you're no longer satisfied for Sunday morning attendance. You're no longer satisfied with just having the commonplace American Christianity. All of a sudden you're like, hold on. Like, we have it. We have the answer. His name is Jesus, and we're bringing it to our region. And Sean, you brought this up. The narrative is being changed. It's been changed. The Lord told us that if we brought in the prophets, opened up the gates of revival, that the narrative of the Bay has changed. And that was the beginning 2.5 years ago. And the narrative has literally changed as we have traveled. It used to be, and I think this is important for people to understand, because I think this is available for anyone. I think this is available for every single person listening. We used to travel all over and be like, oh, we got to bring this to the Bay. Oh, we got to bring this to Bay. Now we say, okay, what has happened in the Bay? We got to bring this to the nation, because it has been so radical what God's doing. And if he can do it in the Bay, I want everyone to hear this that's listening today. If he can do this in the Bay, friends, he can do it wherever you're at, whether small town, big city, whether it's hard or easy, whether you're in the Bible Belt or you're in the darkest place, it does not matter. If you pull a remnant together that have revival resolve and live from a place of what heaven has prophesied, you are going to see revival. End of story. Non-negotiable.
Amen. Well, because I just think that there needs to be a place of like honor for you and Krista, because it makes me think when they were dividing the land in the tribes, and I as Krista was talking about like why we get the resolve that we do, it's because of you guys. It's because for 20 plus years, you guys have said we're not satisfied until what we're seeing out there comes here. And it made me think of the story of like when God was giving people the cities and the land, and some people didn't have faith for the cities that God said you can have. And God said, since you didn't have faith for that city, now I'm taking it back and it's not going to be yours. And I feel like God has so blessed your guys' movement because you guys refused and you guys kept having faith for the city, no matter what it looked like, no matter how dry, no matter what kind of drought that was happening. You guys live so beautifully, walk out your walk so beautifully, and believe. Like, I know Chris and I have been blessed by the levels of expectation that you guys have for God. Like, and because it's of that, yes, that God has given us a city and a region. Like,
yeah. And I'm just going to jump in. And I know, Sensei, I'm sorry. All this good stuff, like, because it kind of goes back to the original question, like, why haven't we seen? And to Lil's point, John Maxwell has this saying that everything rises and falls with leadership. And this is no shade to any pastor or anybody. I just think it's the principle of what Lil is honoring with you guys. Y'all's hunger for the Lord and for revival in the Bay is so contagious. I'm not from here, but I want to give every minute of my life to see it happen. And that's just spending time with you guys and the impact you guys have had in my life and Lil's life and many others. And then it's spread, it's kind of passed on to us. And now everybody that we hang out with, they're kind of like, yo, we want to be a part of this. Like, and it's just spread and it's spread. And I feel like if every place adopted that principle, where if the Lord has given you a desire to see a change in your region, if you get the people around you and you continue to speak and pray and prophesy and believe and work and till the soil, then the workers will come and then you'll see transformation. And I think that's what we're witnessing now. And so the hunger you guys have for the Bay has completely spread like a fire amongst us. And I feel like, I know Dez has a community, Tal has a community, we have a community, and we're all in the same community, but we have other communities that we're not a part of. And Tal, a bunch of people from The Rock are coming, a bunch of people from Infusion and the Young Adults group are coming. And I think that's even how Dez came, because of people connected to the movement. Like, it's crazy how it happens. And it's just, it multiplies and multiplies. And I think the last thing I want to say is, I think this is what happened in the book of Acts. This is literally what happened in the book of Acts. There were no programming. There were no strategies. There were no, do this to grow your church. There were no, read this book, do this study, do this, and your church will grow. It was simply a small group of people that were passionate about Jesus and waiting on the promise that Jesus gave, that he was going to send someone. And they waited, and the Holy Spirit came, and they got impacted, and it spread like a wildfire in their region. And so and you guys are the pioneers of that.
Amen. Oh, man, that's so kind of you guys. I don't know if you noticed, my lens right here is fogging up a little bit. Man, y'all got it up. Hey, I just want to throw on, first of all, thanks so much for that. We're humbled by that. And you guys are running. You guys are just as responsible for everything that's taking place that we're seeing. And we love you with everything in us. I was thinking, in answer to that challenge, is that there's a break, there's a breakthrough, and then there's a breakout. And like, first, you got to hammer and get that break, because we're going against hard ground. Them early meetings, we were just trying to break, just get a break. And I noticed at every juncture, we gained people and lost a couple. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. There are people right at the beginning, hey, you guys trying to get a little break. We're here for the break. And then we get a little break. And it's like, okay, I got a little break off my depression. I got a break off of my loneliness. I got a break from spiritual doldrums. And they were cool with the break. But then we wanted the breakthrough. Like, we don't want just something in us. We want something that will shatter, shake a region. And then even this last one, I think, is now not just the break, not just the breakthrough, but now the breakout of evangelism. Yes, as you were saying, you're going like, I don't know if I'm called to this, but then you stepped out. And even at our last REM masterclass, it was awesome. It's about a half a dozen people stepped up and shared how they were sharing Jesus with baristas and with waiters and waitresses and people they were walking by, and just incredible testimonies, praying with people saying their sinner's prayer. And I feel like at every juncture, here is the challenge for revival revivalists. At every juncture, there's an altar and something has to die. And I think what has to die is a lot of things. Like initially, my observation was people that have itinerant ministries, they travel, they would have like good crowds and God would do great things, but they would come back home and maybe it's that prophet without honor in their hometown thing. They would call together a gathering and hardly nobody would show up. And I'd see them and it was almost like watching them old school horror pictures. It just had you triggered about walking into your, you know, your closet or your bedroom in the dark. I'm like, should we even try to call something in the Bay? This already is a hard place. I mean, should we do it? 50 people show up. What's going on? But you just have to die. And I think at altars, we celebrate altars and we should, but altars are places where things died in the Old Testament. And I think we have near-death experiences, but we don't have true funerals. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to have revival, it's got to be a funeral to your flesh, a funeral to you, a funeral to your reputation, a funeral to what's yours, your agenda, the way you do things. And if you have a near-death experience, you'll get a good meeting. But if you have a funeral, you'll get revival. And so that is the challenge.
Listen, Sensei, you just yes and amen.
That's so good.
Oh, y'all are amazing. Well, hey, we're going to begin to move towards landing the plane a little bit. But first of all, I think the coolest thing, and I think it's coming out to our listeners, is that when you do it with family, and I love what you said, Chris, in the book of Acts, they did it together. They sold everything they had. They brought it together. They lived together, commune. It was, you know, Jesus people movement style. And we still are believing for a big facility where we could all live together and all just have a big meeting place. That would be amazing. But I think more than anything is they just shared lives. And I think our revival is that, you know, two are better than one, for if one falls down, another can lift him up, or two are better than one that receive a better reward for their labors. So I feel like each of us are influencers and we're influencing other influencers that are influencing people. And if you just get a vision that you could just right now, just concentrate on the one, you know, if you just, you know, reach that next person. But I'm kind of getting off track. I just want to get back to, I love being able to run with you guys as family. We're in each other's lives. We pray for each other. We've all have probably wept in front of one another at one time. We all have come in discouraged at times, not thoroughly discouraged because y'all are a sanctified holy group, but we prayed that off. We believe for people. We pull for each other. We would all do, I believe it. I know I feel that way and I know you guys feel that way. We would give our last ounce of blood for each other. And I just think that level of covenant is a must. If you don't have that, I'm not saying you can't be a part of something pretty, you know, in terms of a good meeting, but if you have that, then I think you've weatherproofed when the enemy comes and he tries to bring the bad days, the bad storms. It's at those points that you have family, man. I'm so glad that I'm able to do it with you guys as a family, man.
Honestly, same. One of my favorite Bible stories is the Tower of Babel. And it's because God himself says that when my people are united, that nothing's impossible. So I think God never intended us to do things alone. I think where they went wrong in that story is that they weren't fixed on the God thing. They're only fixed on their thing. And as we've mentioned, like, we're so fixed on Jesus. So if we're all fixed on the same goal, I truly feel like nothing is impossible. And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing fruits of that. But I think the best part is being able to do it together. And so, you know, we are truly better together. And I think we all have different gifts. We all have different strengths. And I think the Lord is going to continue to send people to be a part of this tribe so that the net that we cast could be wider. And so, honestly, there's no better way to do this. And who would want to do something like this alone, right? Like, that just sounds kind of miserable. And so, you know, the laughs that we had, like, I remember Christmas parties and we're playing games and we're just literally laughing for hours and getting to know each other on personal and vulnerable levels. In my experience, I think in a lot of organizations, people claim like, yeah, you know, we have a relationship, but it's all conditional. It's all based upon, well, it's because you work here. It's because of X, Y, and Z. With this group, what it's set apart is so unconditional. Like, the relationship goes beyond what we do with our hands and where we're going with our feet. It's simply about who we are in our hearts. And I think just every day, every time we get together, we're reestablishing our identities in Christ and reinforcing who God has called all of us to be. And we're literally iron sharpening iron. And honestly, it's been the best thing.
Come on, Chris, that's so good.
Yeah, it's been like such an honor just being able to just be a part of the ministry, but a part of family. And I know, like I shared with Lil and Chris, and I'm sure Des too. I'm like, this is like the most like healthiest environment to be a part of, because it's family first, relationship first, and then ministry and work like second. Because we truly, and that's as like John and Chris have modeled that. And we also just care for one another. It's like, hey, like I know there's a lot to you, but like, are you okay? And like the text that we received from like from Krista or Sean, they're like, hey, like how are you guys doing? Like how are you doing? And just checking in and being cared for as just like, you know, another person. And so thank you for modeling that to us and showing us that in that relationship, which helps us just continue to like run harder and
oh, absolutely.
We love you guys. So, you guys are an answer to our prayers.
Facts. So all of this is kind of culminating because we have an incredible event coming up January 30th, 31st, February 1st. We're on Momentum 25, and we've got some incredible speakers. Somebody want to break it down for us?
Yeah. We have Michael Maiden, Jane Hammond, and Joshua Giles coming in as speakers. And then we have Matt Gilman and Chris and Tal, Therasot, our Momentum Worship team. It's going to be an incredible 3 days. I'm so excited.
And two of our favorite speakers, Sean and Chris.
And Sean and Chris.
Come on, get in the room.
Many of our family. You guys are family.
Listen, Krista is the wild one of wild ones.
Yes, she is. Right?
Straight up.
She's a president and CEO.
CEO.
She's
I love it. Hey, I receive it.
A phrase now that people are using when somebody speaks truth, I say, I always like to say facts. Some people now say Bible. They're like, well, Bible, man. She is. And the thing is that this began with us calling together a meeting that was really about a flashpoint to encounter. We've insisted that it's not a conference, although we call it a conference because there's things that happen. There's kind of a bit of a, I don't know what else you would call it, but like a conference, like playlist. You know, it's like this happens, then this happens, then this happens. Our first conference, we had a 10-hour meeting. The morning meeting bled into the afternoon meeting. It bled into the night meeting. And we could all be on our faces. The power of God could fall. We could just be in worship, you know. And so we call this a conference just because it's a similitude phrase. You know, it's a word they just like that. But what we're really asking is for an encounter, a flashpoint, a space where we meet God. We're going after God. And we have so much momentum coming into Momentum. You could register right now. Get your tickets. If you're from out of state, we could recommend off our websites, great hotels. But you want to be in the room. I actually feel like with everything that's happened, I feel like everything we've done is scratching the surface for 2025. Many of the prophetic voices are saying that we have an incredible window. They really feel like it's a season of thrusting, a season of harvest. So we just feel like this is going to be huge. But we're also going to ask Mike Maiden to have a specific session. We're just going to props over people. We're going to jump in and be a part of it. Jane Hammond, oh my goodness. That woman is one of the top prophetic voices. If you don't know or recognize that last name, her father-in-law is kind of the father of the modern prophetic movement, Bishop Bill Hammond, Pastor Joshua Giles. He was just used to call a massive event. They came by the tens of thousands in Atlanta, and that's not even his home where his home church is. I believe it's Minneapolis. He's a man of faith. He preaches the word, and we're just believing for God to do great things, so you do not want to miss it. Any final things you guys want to say to the Keep It 100 tribe?
I will say something. I think one of the hardest things is sharing when people don't attend our events and they go, oh my gosh, like, how was it? That is the hardest thing. So just save yourself from that. Save yourself from the Holy Spirit FOMO. Register and get in the room, because there are no words to describe what God does in that room for you, for your family, for your region, for your church. So just get in the room.
And I hear a little Elias. He's crying out. It's prophetic. There's a cry right now that's crying out for the more. Come on, somebody. Hey, I sure love you guys. Thanks so much for jumping on. Momentum team, we love you guys. You guys are amazing.
We love you guys. Thank you guys.
Love you guys so much.
Love you guys.
Wow. That was so fun just being a part of that conversation.
Oh my gosh. They're like literally my favorite people. I honestly, on a daily basis, and that's not an exaggeration, find myself full of gratitude of the people that we get around with. You know, Tal and Dez and LTV and Chris. I mean, truly no one could be a better team for us because they literally, they're ride or die. They're all in. There's no hesitation. They're 100% lovers of Jesus. There's no agenda. There's no ego. They just want Jesus. And when you get the privilege to run alongside people that are so pure-hearted and on fire for Jesus like them, what a gift. That does not get lost on me. I know that certainly doesn't get lost on you. You and I consistently tell them how grateful we are for them, because when God gives you revival family, it's one of the most priceless gifts you can be given.
You know, I was reminded of a scripture. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I think the momentum of revival is that the kernel must become a cluster. Ooh. And you know, that whole aspect that the new wine is fine in the cluster. So the kernel becomes a cluster. When the kernel becomes a cluster, a breakthrough becomes a breakout. And that's literally what this thing is about. You can go to www.seanandchrissmith.com and sign up for Momentum 2025. Get in the room. Although live stream will be available, there's nothing like being in the room, because at revival truly is atmospheric, and we're gathering some phenomenal voices for that. Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode of Keep It 100. We look forward to you joining us on our next episode. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at SeanandChristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you, so be sure to show us some love.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandChristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.